Energy, Desert Community Energy Agenda to order. And welcome, Chair. Welcome, Clerk, I meant, sorry.
Hello. City of Palm Desert?
Present.
City of Palm Springs?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Great, thank you so much. Next item is public comment on agenda items only. This time is for the public to address the committee on agenda items. If anyone has agenda items, please raise your hand or hit star 9. Clerk, do we have any public comments on agenda items?
We have not received any written comments at this time, and I do not see any hands.
Great, thank you so much. We move on to board member director comments. Vice Chair Jonathan, do you have any comments?
Just briefly to thank you and staff for accommodating my schedule. I have three Zoom meetings this afternoon, all back to back. So I'm glad, I appreciate you doing that and enabling me to attend. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Varos, do you have?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Vice Chair. I did want to make a couple announcements. We actually do have two new staff members who've joined CBAG and DCE, and I'd like to briefly just give you an update on that. David Friedman, who you heard about last time, is our new DCE program manager. David, stepped down as chair of DCE's Community Advisory Committee in order to take the position. He's been a very active member of the Palm Springs Sustainability Commission and has been a supporter of DCE since well before we started. We're fortunate to have David's wealth of knowledge about energy and sustainability and his enthusiasm. And he's also, besides working on DCE, David will be working on the new Inland Regional Energy Network, which is getting up to speed now. So you'll be hearing in other capacities at CBAG about that. And then also another new staff member, Elizabeth Barnwell, Liz Barnwell, who's a new management analyst. And she comes to us with a broad background, including work in the nonprofit sector. She's worked at College of the Desert and in the solar industry. Besides her new job at CBAG and DCE, Liz is also pursuing a PhD in environmental and social sustainability. So she's very excited to be working with us. She's going to be working on our outreach team and customer support, and she'll also be working at CBAG on other energy and environment programs. So we're excited to have both David and Liz join us, and you will, as time goes along, I think you'll be hearing from them. So another quick update, you authorized us to proceed with the Ohm Connect Smart Thermostat program back in our last meeting, and that promotion has been in place for Desert Community Energy customers over the last several months. It is a program that's actually now going to expand to CBAG territory. We've had a lot of social media and emails to customers, but it will be expanding to the CBAG territory. So starting this month, the Smart Thermostat program will open up CBAG-wide and will run for 2 months beginning January 17th. Desert Community Energy and Edison customers will still be eligible for the Smart Thermostat promotion, so they'll actually have another try if they didn't get a chance to get a smart thermostat or the free smart plugs on the first go around. And we will be working with the CBAG team to get the word out more to Palm Desert as well as more in Palm Springs and all the other communities that are served by Southern California Edison. Just a couple other updates. A number of months ago, you authorized a distributed energy resources request for proposals, and that request was released and actually closed right before the holidays. This is a proposal that's for a focused on a behind the meter battery energy storage systems within our service territory, particularly the opportunity for smaller scale projects that might benefit some of our commercial or school districts and also possibly residential customers, really a focus on the former. It's really targeted at local resilience and reliability, enhancing our peak load management and providing new tools and capabilities to support our ongoing efforts for clean and carbon-free electricity for our customers. We actually received 5 proposals, and these are being evaluated by a review team, which includes the Energy Authority DCE staff, and we have actually engaged one of our Palm Desert representatives from the Community Advisory Committee who wanted to participate in that. So that'll be something you'll hear about at a future meeting when we bring back a recommendation. And also related, we have released just on the last week or so a midterm reliability request for offers. This is a to meet requirements of the state. It's being handled by the Energy Authority, and we actually, as you might recall, are partnering with CalChoice and Clean Energy on a joint procurement. This is really focused on some of the electricity needs that include some no emissions and long-term storage, and that will be another item that you'll hear more about in the coming months. So just wanted to bring you up to date on those things, and with that, we can proceed.
Great. Well, thank you so much. So next is the consent calendar, and just for the public, if people don't have the agenda with them, there are three items. One is to approve the minutes from the board meeting of November 29th, 2021. One is to affirm that findings still exist pursuant to Assembly Bill 361 to authorize continuation of remote teleconference virtual meetings of Desert Community Energy. And the third is to appoint Don Barrett of Palm Springs to fill a vacancy on the Community Advisory Committee to complete the term ending in August 2023. Is there anything that staff or the vice chair would like to pull for separate voter discussion?
Move approval of the consent calendar.
Okay, I will second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that passes unanimously. And I see that Don Barrett is attending. And Don, if you'd like to just share a few words, you're welcome to. If not, that's fine too. But we're thrilled to have you on. But if you'd like to join briefly, please, there you are. Great.
You know, I do this for 1 PS, but somehow or other, it surprised me how you did it here. Anyway, I'm glad to be here. I look forward to working with you as it was stated in my application for this. I'm particularly concerned with issues for mobile home parks. I live in a mobile home park and just in general and the issues of making sure that people at all levels understand what's going on and can utilize the value of DCE as well as best as possible.
Great. Well, we're thrilled to have you join and look forward to working with you. So thanks so much.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to really stay on to see what you do.
Of course, please do. our next item is on discussion action items. The first is a line of credit with River City Bank. So Kitty Barrows, please. Go ahead, and thank you for the staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Vice Chair. Staff is pleased to present this item, which represents a significant step for DCE in maintaining our financial health. I'm just going to briefly give a little bit of background and then go through some of the terms with you on a short PowerPoint. This is a request for your consideration to approve a revolving line of credit with River City Bank in an amount not to exceed $8 million, and to authorize our executive director to take the actions necessary to finalize and execute those documents. We're actually asking for your consideration of this item today so that we can move the process forward of getting this credit facility in place, which will help us to manage cash flow early this year and move us in a more positive path in terms of DCE's financial footing. So certainly a primary goal for DCE has been to establish reserves that will address fluctuations in the energy markets, help us to stabilize rates. And as described in your staff report, we sought some working capital opportunities with lenders which would help us manage fluctuations in cash flow requirements as we work to establish our reserves. It's really not uncommon at all for community choice aggregation agencies like DCE to experience cash flow fluctuations and typically manage those through the establishment of operating reserves. And as you've known, since April 2020, DCE has established some reserves, but has really not had sufficient time or capacity to establish reserves, especially given the COVID pandemic and some of the other challenges. So to seek a credit facility, staff engaged with our consultant team and also brought on PFM Financial Advisors, who's worked with other CCAs in this capacity. And we wanted to seek several opportunities. So we requested proposals from potential lenders, which included our current lender, River City Bank, as well as a very competitive proposal from Union Bank. I want to just note that the forward-thinking efforts of the DCE team, including the board, were very important in this process. And I think in general, the planning that's been done with our long-term power procurement agreements and bringing on those other energy sources, as well as the focus on carbon-free was something that was a benefit to us as we went through the process. I think there was obviously, as described in your staff report, some due diligence involved. We did ask each lender to provide an offer and some back and forth in terms of the term sheets so that we could seek the best option for DCE and come to a proposal that gave us the most financially beneficial terms. And I just want to appreciate the efforts and support from Don Dame, who did a lot of work on evaluating the proposals, the TEA team, PFM, and our DCE staff. So with that, I want to just review with you the terms that have been identified in the term sheet that was included in your agenda packet. If I could have the next slide, please. So with River City Bank, the terms that they have presented to us include a commercial revolving line of credit. And that is in an amount up to $8 million. The interest rate is noted here, floating at the three-month Treasury bill plus 1.75%. And that was something we worked with both proposers in terms of getting a more beneficial terms. And it is a next bullet point. This is an item that would include a guarantee from the City of Palm Springs. We've worked with the city, which indicated a willingness to do so, and we anticipate that a guarantee would be on the City Council agenda on the January 27th meeting. So we would that would be brought to the Council for their consideration of that guarantee. Next item. And this is for a term of up to 3 years. There is an option for us to convert to a term loan if needed at a three-month Treasury bill plus 2%, as described in your staff report and in the term sheet that was attached. So with regard to the next steps, as I say, we're anxious to get the credit facility in place and moving forward to try to do that perhaps as soon as the end of the month. The first of those items would be for the City Council of Palm Springs to consider the guarantee. The next item would be working with River City Bank and the city on all of the documents that would be associated with that. We would be finalizing a credit agreement and then anticipating final approval by River City Bank and their credit committee. It has been a benefit to us that we have already worked with River City Bank in the $2 million line of credit that they extended to us for the last year. And so we have, I think established a very good working relationship with them through this process. And finally, to execute the credit agreement, and the item before you here is recommending that you adopt the attached resolution 2201, which would approve the credit facility for an amount not to exceed $8 million and authorize the executive director. And I won't read all of the details of that, but basically to execute the credit facility agreement consistent with the terms and conditions set forth in the term sheet, which is attached to your staff report, and any associated documents, and this would be in consultation with our general counsel. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Vice Chair Jonathan.
Thank you. Ms. Barrows, so the recommendation that you just had on the screen, I assume, although it's not in the staff report, that the adoption of Resolution 2022-01 would be contingent on Palm Springs' guarantee of the line of credit. But would you be okay if and when we made a motion that we added that contingency? Is that a problem? Is that okay?
No, that's fine. That is certainly one of the contingencies, is the approval of the guarantee from the City of Palm Springs.
Okay. Then I think if I read the resolution correctly, or the which refers to the letter from River City Bank setting forth the terms, it looks like the cost to establish this line of credit, so not the interest carry on the outstanding principal balance, but the cost to set up is $20,000, if I did the math right, for a loan fee, and then a $10,000 documentation fee. So around $30,000 to establish this line of credit. Is that accurate?
Yes, I believe that's accurate. Yes.
We are going to, and that leads into my really my main question, which is, we are going from a $2 million line of credit to $8 million. And the cash flow projection that staff graciously provided indicates that we're not anticipating negative cash flow starting with really, you know, May, June, or whatever of this year. So I know that we have talked about the strategic need to have a line of credit, not just as a cushion if we do have negative cash flow, but also, you know, the axiom of, you know, get credit while you qualify for credit kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm kind of asking you, if we are not anticipating, you know, $8 million worth deficit, what is staff's intention and goal in increasing the line of credit from $2 million to $8 million and thereby incurring a cost of $30,000?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, in terms of the previous line of credit, that was not a revolving line of credit. It had a short term. In this case, we did a lot of analysis and discussion, including with the Energy Authority on our financial pro forma and cash flow. And the reason for the $8 million would be to give us some flexibility in the event of some of the unexpected circumstances that could arise. We don't anticipate needing that full amount, and we obviously wouldn't pay interest on it until we used it. But it really was to give us some cushion, if you will, given some of the challenges and unexpected circumstances that we've seen over the last few years with regard to energy prices and fluctuations in the market. So that was really where the thinking came from. This would be an amount that would give us some ability to handle some of the uncertainty.
Very good. Thank you.
Just had that last question. So that's all I have. So thank you, Vice Chair. So if there's nothing else, we can take a motion on this.
Sure. I would move to follow staff's recommendation.
I apologize, Vice Chair. I apologize. I did need to actually make a correction in the resolution. I apologize. In the first paragraph, there's a citation to the Public Utilities Code, and there's a zero that appears in the very first whereas that needs to be, shouldn't be there. And then there's some minor formatting under one of the whereases where we just need to move the text. But if you could include in your motion that correction of no zero in the first paragraph, that would be appreciated. Thank you. Sorry.
Those darn zeros. yes. So move to adopt staff's recommendation, adoption of resolution 2022-01, subject to the modifications just discussed and contingent upon the approval by the Palm Springs City Council to guarantee the debt.
I'll second that. All in favor? Yes?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you very much.
We'll
move forward to the next item, which is the Statewide Residential Emergency Load Reduction Program. And welcome David Friedman.
Thank you, Chair Coors and Vice Chair Jonathan. This matter is related to a decision the CPUC took last month in the reliable electric service proceeding that was opened following the summer 2020 blackouts. The CPUC remains focused on reliable electric service in summer 2022 and beyond, and issued an order that, among other things, added reductions in energy use during system emergencies with special outreach to low-income customers. Such as those enrolled in the CARE and FIERA programs. The program is a 5-year pilot that will be available to residential customers starting in summer 2022 from May to October of each year. The ELRP is managed by 3 investor-owned utilities, in our case, Southern California Edison, or SCE. CCAs such as DCE may opt out of the ELRP by giving notice to their IOU by January 31st, in which case the CCA's customers would not be eligible for the program. There is some overlap between the ELRP and the Smart Thermostat Program just launched in partnership with Ohm Connect, as they both compensate customers for reducing their electric loads. However, customers will have two programs available to choose from to help them reduce their energy bills. Staff will coordinate the implementation of the ELRP with SCE, Ohm Connect, and other CCAs that have adopted Ohm Connect to ensure clear messaging. Staff recommends that DCE not send an opt-out notice to SCE and recommends instead that the board authorize the executive director to take any necessary steps to coordinate DCE's participation in the ELRP. That concludes my staff report, and I'm available for any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair Jonathan, do you have any questions?
No questions.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Friedman. Appreciate the report. We'll move now on to our information items. So we have our-
We require a motion, I believe.
Oh, do you need a motion? Yeah, you're right.
So Mr. Friedman, congratulations. I think that's the first report. You've done good.
Thank you.
I would move to accept staff's recommendation and authorize the executive director to take any necessary steps to coordinate DC's participation in the ELR program.
I'll second the motion. And Mr. Friedman, it's nice to hear you in a public meeting when you have more than 2 minutes to get in 5 minutes, which you do better than anyone I've ever met or heard from. So really appreciate it. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries unanimously. Thanks, David. Our next is our information items. So we have our attendance record, our unaudited financial reports from July 1st to October 31st of last year. And we had an update of California's arrearage payment program and some funding DCE will be getting through that. Anyone want to comment or have any questions on that? Vice Chair or staff?
One question slash request, and I know we tinker with these financials, and if it's a problem, don't go there, but is it easy to present the statement of net position, the P&L, on a comparison basis to budget and to the prior year? If it's not a big deal, it will put the current year in perspective. If it is a big deal, I can certainly live without it. I don't mean to overtax staff and resources. Thank you.
Mr. Vice Chair, we will discuss that with Claude Kilgore, Director of Finance, and I think that certainly is reasonable, but we'll follow up and let you know.
Yeah, I just feel Claude doesn't have enough to do, so I thought I'd throw another project out at him. Seriously, often it's already in the database and it's a matter of triggering the format. And if that's the case, great. If not, it's fine. Thank you.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Vice Chair Jonathan. So next is public comment on non-agenda items. Our clerk, Ms. Nelson, will let us know if anyone is raising their hand or has hit *9. And this is up to 2 minutes on non-agenda items, but that are issues within the purview of this committee.
At this time, we have not received any written non-agenda items, and I do not see any raised hands.
Great, thank you very much. So we'll move on to announcements. So the only one I have is that the next DCE meeting will be held on February 14th, Valentine's Day, 2022 at 2:30 p.m. via Zoom. Anyone else have any announcements from staff or Vice Chair Jonathan? Okay, with that, the meeting is adjourned, and to a happy, healthy, and green new year to all. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Happy New Year.